creeps and freaks.
Creepies and freakies! Oh. About that. Vocal burn. My bad.
Pretty chortled.
Chortle. Makes me think of dark, like Charizard mixed with Squirtle.
Yeah.
That'd be a dope Turtle. Pokemon.
Every time I play Pokemon, I say, Squirtle!
Squirtle!
When there's a Squirtle out in the wild in Pokemon Go.
Yeah, that's so cute! Sorry, I love them. Squirtle's the best.
He is.
He's
My nephews get so mad because I don't have a Squirtle pop. Like, they're like, you have the whole starter set except for Squirtle. And I was like, okay, listen.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I've had him in my Amazon cart, like, over and over, but I tend to get, like, Pokemon, or pops that are rare, and that one's not. And I got all of my other Pokemon ones, I think at, like, Joanne or something.
I'm looking up there. You got the max three,
and
not
Pikachu's
the max
over
one.
There.
I knew exactly where Pikachu was, but...
But, I don't know. I will get him, but I'm like, there's just other ones that...
There's other ones that are rare that you want.
Yeah.
Like your Ursula. That one's dope.
Right.
I don't know if it's rare, but it's cool.
It's, yeah, it's decently rare. I got that one from the Funko website.
Ooh.
I got a little baby Rocket Raccoon over the weekend.
I like your queen with your little miniature king. That one's dope.
That's my niece's favorite.
Yeah.
She takes that little king.
And just runs around with
him. Yep. It's her favorite.
That's a genius
She just stands there and just looks at all of them and smiles.
I love her. She's adorable.
Anyway, tangent already.
Yeah,
look at how good
we haven't
we're
seen
doing.
Each other for a while either.
We haven't. So. Wait, I was thinking. I was like, do we miss a week? We didn't. It's just because we recorded on time last time.
Yeah.
Now we're recording late because of me.
It's okay. It happens.
Yeah.
I had my bad weeks. You're gonna have yours.
Right. I was just so fucking busy last week.
I know, I felt so bad. You took 2 days off work, but you really didn't actually get days
worked.
Off. You worked. Your other job.
I worked my other work.
Ah.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Welcome back to the In the Nick of Crime podcast.
I'm your host, Michelle. And
for me. I was gonna go with it. If you're gonna say, I'm your host, Michelle, and I was gonna say, I'm your host, Courtney.
It just sounded cringe when I was hearing it. I was like, oh, we're past that, Courtney. We're past that. Just stop. Bro, I was looking. We have a lot of episodes.
We do.
I did not realize we've recorded that many episodes.
Yeah. We're on 42 for regular ones and 21 for Scoops and Lore.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot.
Killing it.
And we've got, like, two offsets in there. We have a bonus one and then our M cubed. Same with Paige. We love you. We miss you.
I know.
We haven't talked to you guys in so long.
I know. They've been really busy too, though. So.
Anyways.
Tangent.
How many ways are we going to try to do this intro? For you to do a weekly true crime podcast. Sometimes we like to do spooky stuff.
And normally I'm the comedic, but Michelle's got it today. I'm going to let her run with it.
I guess I'm in a piss poor mood, and I guess that's translating to... Funny.
It is funny. It's very entertaining. I'm here for it.
Courtney's like, are we still on for recording tonight? I was like, just the regular episode. I'm in a horrendous mood.
Yeah, I just said I was going to like peace out right after so you could have the rest of the night.
I would have been like, thank you for the warning.
I don't even notice it. It's fine.
Anyway, I had one quick update that I wanted to do regarding episode 40,
yes.
Laura Wallen. I know I had referenced on that one kind of why I was recommended that case by my nephew. He's a teenager. His vernacular is TikTok. But I did get confirmation that that TikTok video was for sure not related to the case, which I assumed it was not. But I did decide to go ahead and take the TikTok link out of the show notes of it. It kind of... I don't know why, but it didn't really occur to me that the people that posted that were getting monetization off of that. Of course they are. I should have just thought about that. But I don't want to perpetuate that. So I did decide to go ahead and take that out. And I am going to go ahead and edit the episode too to just kind of take out that blurb for the most part and anything that's like descriptive of it. truly the only reason I mentioned it in the episode was just because that's how it got, you know, suggested to me. And in my mind... I was like, well, it's good because it's giving the case more light, but I didn't think about it from the flip side of that, you know, and it is important too, especially when you're thinking about the loved ones of those that have passed, and especially with what happened to Laura and baby Reed. We don't want that perpetuating. So, yeah, I just wanted to make that quick update. So for anyone that wasn't sure, I know I made, you know, I said to be very, 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 very clear, I have not found anything linking to it. And I was like 99.99999% sure that it was not, but it for sure is not. So if you do come across that video, don't share it. Don't perpetuate it. It's just really yucky for someone to try to take a tragedy like that and to spin it and make money off of that. That's gross. And that's just so disrespectful to the family, to the victims. Mm-hmm. So don't share it around if you happen to see it. If it was a real video, my gosh, I hope whoever that was in there is okay or what happened. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I just wanted to share that. It's a me-isode. So Courtney.
It's a me-isode? I love it.
It's been a fucking busy week for some true crime, some heavy hitters.
Holy hell, has there been a ton.
Yeah, so.
I mean, technically speaking, we could literally touch on like 5.
Yeah, easily.
Big ones.
Yeah. I think we're going to talk about 2, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll start with this one. So the Gilgo Beach serial killing case.
So let me give that episode 2.
Yeah,
so
we shall cover this.
Yeah, so I actually did a 2-parter on this.
Yes, you did. It was a very fascinating 2-parter, by the way.
It was early on, too, in our game. It was episode 12. I did a part 1 and a part 2 of episode 12. But it was the Long Island serial killer.
Mm-hmm. I remember us thinking, like, we didn't really think this case would ever be solved because there was just no freaking evidence that we had read about.
Right.
Now it's like coming out. It's another story that they had a shit ton of evidence that they weren't releasing. They had
been keeping this on the low so well because you, like, they've had his number for a hot minute.
Oh, yeah. His name is Rex. I don't even know how to say his last name. Hewerman?
Herman, I think.
Herman? Okay, it's a weird way to spell it.
Like H-E-U-R-R.
H-E-U-E-R-M-A-N-N.
I would think Herman. Yeah.
Okay.
Just like a weird way to spell it. I don't know. If we're wrong, he fucking sucks, so.
Right. So he's actually arrested and charged with the murder of 3 of the 4 Gilgo 4s.
Mm-hmm. And that's not to mention the, I think, 6 or 7 other bodies that were found.
Yeah, so there's 11 bodies in total that were found. Supposedly, this dude's been on their radar for the last year.
That's crazy.
So, they've been,
they did a good job of keeping it.
Dude, they kept us so quiet. Mad props to the police force.
Because that's the best way to do it.
Oh, it's wild. But in his house, they found 200 to 300 firearms in a walled-off vault behind a locked metal door. And only 92 of those were registered. That's terrifying.
I'm surprised that many were registered, if I'm being honest.
Me too, but still, it's terrifying. Yeesh. They're really focusing on his house with forensics. They're trying to find souvenirs of the killings, and what they're finding is that things are out of place, and that's how they're finding these souvenirs. So such as, like, there's a doll that was found in the house, but it wasn't in one of the children's rooms that he had.
Yeah.
So they're finding oddities throughout the house of, like, you don't belong here. Like, find what doesn't belong here. What? So they think there's souvenirs from murders.
And didn't they say he lives, like, in the same, like, janky house he grew up in, like, Massapequa?
Yep.
And he's, like, a prominent architect.
Yes.
In New York City.
Yes.
Like, that's weird. Like, and to me, that's giving me some John Wayne Gacy vibes. Facts. He's like, I don't want to leave this house because there's a lot of shit in this house.
Ugh. No, like, I'm not here for
it. It's giving me the heebs, man.
The other thing that gives me the heebs is the fact of the DNA evidence. So, they actually, so the very last victim, her name was Amber. Her body had, there was a phone and actual DNA evidence that is now linked because of her body to him. Okay. And finding out that his DNA is the only thing on her body. But his wife's DNA has been found on 2 other bodies.
See, and what the fuck? Like, that to me says that she either, like, he scared her into helping him move them or something, or she was involved somehow.
I am not sure.
Can you imagine both of your parents were like that?
No.
Oh, my
gosh. No. I always feel for people whose parents do stuff like this. Like, it's horrendous.
Yeah.
They're also saying in regards to the DNA and the hairs, they said that it's either a transfer, so like from one person to another.
Right.
Or they were at that location where like, one of the two occupied what was going on, and, mm-hmm. like, they said it's either, like, a car or a house or something. They were both in the same vicinity because right. they're clearly finding their DNA on these bodies.
What the fuck? Okay, but what if, I don't know why my brain is going here, but what if, like, they were, you know, in an open marriage and they had people, like, come into their marriage and, you know, have threesomes or something. Like, I'm not dogging on your sex.
Well, that was a whatever. Thing there, too. Remember, you talked about how swinging was a big thing yeah. in that neighborhood.
Right, right. Exactly. And so, like, what if the wife was just, like, involved in that sense and didn't know that he was doing these things after the fact? I don't know. I'm trying to make it make sense in my brain, and just, like, both of them being involved somehow. I don't know why that seems so much more far-fetched to me.
I have no idea. It's wild, though. Like, I'm fucking healthy. Yeah, so 11 remains were found. They apparently did a really good job on the scene from what I'm seeing of the mm-hmm. evidence that they had, especially for collecting DNA.
Gosh, and it's been, I think, over a decade since
is when they said it started.
Yeah.
At least that's what
I
read.
And I think, like, 2011 was when the last of the Go-Go 4 was found.
Mm-hmm. They kept finding remains pretty consistently after yeah. Shannon.
Well, and he hasn't been linked to hers yet, at least mm-hmm. last I saw.
Yeah, she's the one that they didn't link yeah. to yet.
Yeah, because it's kind of strange, because, like, Shannon Gilbert and then the others, like, after the Go-Go 4 were the outliers. Mm-hmm. So they've been trying to figure out if it was multiple killers or if it was just one, and that kind of changed their MO. But, like, my gosh.
Well, what's interesting, too, I just figured this out, because we were asking how they knew it was him.
Yeah.
They apparently narrowed down thousands of cell towers. That's what it says. Cell tower yeah. records down to a handful of people, and then began focusing on the residents who also matched the physical description provided by witnesses who had seen the suspected killer.
Wow.
That's how they
so
found
it.
Even,
like, because I was wondering if they had done, like, forensic genealogy, but mm-hmm. I didn't think they had enough to do
well,
that.
Well, and the case with Amber, I don't know if you remember talking about mm-hmm. this, but there was somebody that saw a person with her.
Yeah.
The description is mm-hmm. exactly him.
I was going to say, because when I saw him, I was like, this seems familiar to me, so I must have read more of, like, the descriptors than I remembered. That is so nuts.
Yep. So their key, like, factors right now in the case are the DNA that matched, and then a piece of male hair that was found in burlap when it was wrapped around Waterman's body.
See, and burlap was common. Like, a common, oh my gosh, why can't I think of words? A common link between mm-hmm. the victims.
This is wild,
but not
too.
All of them, so that's why a lot of people thought right. that the Go-Go 4 were separate from the others.
So he has, they did his internet history.
Oh yeah.
200 plus internet searches on information about the status of the Go-Go investigation.
I heard that he had been searching a lot. Holy
and it
shit.
Says he was also compulsive searching for photos of the victims and their families.
Yeah, and he's sitting there crying like a little bitch saying, I didn't do this. Then you got a lot of explaining to do, man, because you're looking hella guilty right now.
So, interesting. They said that Herman's wife and two children were out of the state during the times that the three women that he's being charged for were believed yeah. to have been killed.
See, I saw that, and so that's why I think I forgot that I read that, and that's why I was kind of put off or surprised.
Well, it
by
says
the,
that his wife and children are cooperating with the investigation, so
good.
They have her DNA. Like,
yeah,
she clearly helped him move a couple of those 11 bodies that aren't part of the Go-Go 4.
But did they only find her hair?
No, it was physical DNA. The only
okay.
hair was a male hair from burlap.
Okay, gotcha. Because you mentioned hair otherwise. Because yep. I was like, if it was just her hair, that could be
nope,
explained
it
away.
Was just the male hair on the burlap. It's hers was physical
he
touch
to, like,
DNA.
He scared her into doing
had
that.
Had to have.
Or
she's just as rough as
right.
he is.
But they're definitely going to give her immunity.
I would assume
they're
going
very
surprised
to. If they didn't. Holy shit.
Because, yeah,
I mean,
insane.
At a minimum, she's tampering with evidence. At a
oh,
minimum.
At a minimum. Tampering with corpse is another
right.
thing that she'll get, too.
Accessory. After the fact, like, there's a lot
yeah,
of shit that she could get. And so if they give her
so
immunity,
much.
She would be well inclined to sing like a canary. Wow.
Whew.
My goodness. Like, I just hope that this leads them to the rest. Because can you imagine how the families would feel if the murders of those four were figured out, but not the rest? I just can't. It being two people would just be crazy. Like, to me, I think it's unfathomable that it could be two people that aren't intertwined with each other somehow.
Right. Well, yeah. Sorry, I was going to get off on the next subject because I just found something really interesting about our other one that we wanted.
Okay.
They're connecting this case to JonBenet Ramsey's.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have another update on another case that's super close to home for Michelle and I.
Yes.
That, again, another case I didn't think was ever going to be solved.
Because it's pushing 30 years old at this point.
So her dad basically is saying that her killer will be a similar bio to the Gilligo Beach murder suspect, Ron Herman.
And is he speaking in terms of, like, making a profile, like, profiling them, or, like, background-wise?
Both. He's talking profile and background.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. So, if you guys don't know about this case, she was 6 when she was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Big-time beauty queen. Was gonna go places. Was literally found in her basement of her house on Christmas morning, strangled.
Yep.
And no one's been able to find a lead.
Yeah.
And it was almost 26 years ago that she was murdered.
Talk about what the update is, too.
Well, that's what I was actually looking at. I was trying to find the actual, like, update. Because I thought they had a name, didn't they?
They do, yeah. It's like George Oliver or something like that. Hold on. See, now this is, like, taking over. Gosh, it's, like, everywhere. That update that you saw. It's, yeah, like, taking
it's,
over
it's hard
what
to
they
like
were just talking about.
Look at her case.
Gary Oliva. I was close.
Gary Oliva. You were close, actually.
I can do just, like, a quick synopsis.
If you want to. You probably have more information than I do. I haven't actually searched it.
So, there is a man named Gary Oliva. He is a convicted sex offender. He's in prison for this shit
he
right now. He's
ugly.
Real gross looking, yeah.
Whoa.
He is apparently saying that he is the one that killed JonBenet Ramsey. So the kicker with this one is that he lived just a couple of blocks from their house. He told a friend, like, very soon after JonBenet died, that he heard a little girl. His friend reported it to the police more than once. And what did Boulder PD do, friends?
Nothing.
For 4 years, they didn't even look into this fucker. They arrested him for trespassing, I think, at CU Boulder.
Yep.
And he had a taser on him, which anyone who's familiar with this case knows that they believe that there was taser marks on JonBenet. And he had, like, a Pinterest board of all kinds of creepy shit. He had, like, over, I think, 300 photos of JonBenet. And I'm pretty sure he is admitted to being obsessed with her.
Yes, he has.
Yeah. So, what's gonna come of this? Who the fuck knows? And how Boulder PD is still in operation is just beyond me. And I'm just so interested to know how they're going to explain this one away.
Well, because I'm interested too, because, like, they're saying that the DNA evidence has failed to link him to the murder. And he also has denied in the past ever hurting or killing her.
Right.
But the thing for me that's interesting is, like, you clearly talk to your old, like, they call him a schoolmate, but
right,
friend, yeah, whatever you want to call him,
right,
about killing a kid. And then you're in jail for 10 years for child pornography.
Right.
You live down the street from her.
Right. And, like, we're obsessed with her.
How many wrong place, wrong times do you have before somebody calls you out on your
right
bullshit?
And if he's still saying that he did it, it doesn't matter if it turns out that he didn't. You still have to fucking investigate it.
Right.
Like, what happened to exhausting all leads? It just makes no sense to me.
It's so dumb. And back
but
in
I'm
2019,
hoping
they were talking about him.
Right. Because his name sounded familiar when I saw this come up. And I'm glad that they're riding on the coattails of this Gilgo arrest, because it's going to get more publicity for the case again that it fucking needs.
Yep, absolutely.
Ride those coattails.
Ride it. Ride it hard. I mean, like, it was hard for us to find information on just JonBenet, because they're connecting the two cases right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yep. I just hope that finally these two cases have some sort of justice at them.
Yes.
I'd love to see the Zodiac murders also solved, but that is one I definitely don't think they're going to ever solve. I think the Zodiac killer is dead. I think he's been dead for a hot minute.
I was thrown off so bad because I was watching Catching Killers
on
Netflix. Did you watch the new season yet? I was so confused because I was half paying attention, as I always do when I watch TV. And I kept hearing Zodiac Killer, so I just assumed it was, like, the normal Zodiac Killer. And then they're saying, like, we arrested someone, and I was like, fucking Zodiac Killer are you talking about? I didn't know there was a New York Zodiac Killer.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, they never caught that guy, and I thought I was losing my mind. But no, it was
no, just a different one. They just, like, gave out the same name because they have very similar killing styles, unfortunately. Yeah,
well, and he was, like, definitely taking note of the California
copycat
Zodiac
killer for yeah, sure.
For sure. But, stupid. Yeah. So, there's just a lot of shit going on.
There's a lot of true crime updates, guys. Yeah. Lots of true crime. We could probably do even more. I know there's a couple of other cases in my head right now that I'm like,
I still need to make a post on the TikTok about the, I don't remember if it's the case discovery or affidavit for the fuckface that's arrested for the Delphi murders.
I think it was the, I think you wanted to do one for both, actually.
Well, I don't remember what just came out. I don't remember which it was, and I was going to talk about it, but I haven't read it yet.
I think it was affidavit.
Yeah. So I'm going to do that too, but that's going to be on the TikTok. Since that's a case that's had a lot of notoriety. I mean, obviously the two that we just talked about did too, but we tried to.
These are some big heavy hitting cases.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I'm shook by the true crime community right now. Like, I don't even know which way to look. Like, normally your girl is putting on, like, a podcast or a TV show. I've been out in left field as I'm pointing right because I don't know my directions.
My left.
Your left, my right. I've been out in left field because truly there's so much going on right now. Mm-hmm. I can't even turn it on without, like, being overwhelmed.
I know.
And wanting to.
Yeah. I've just been hearing my audiobook land.
So. Bro, I've been off in my drama land because I just laugh really hard at the cheesy stupidity-ness. It's awesome.
But yeah, lots of updates. Woof. So.
You guys hang with us.
Yeah.
Because Michelle now has an awesome case that I'm ready to hear.
I do. Yeah, this one is wild. So this is another listener recommendation. Again, we do a lot of listener recommendations, friends, so send them in. Send them in. So this is one from one of our listeners, Melissa. She actually, we hadn't talked to her before. She just sent us a random email on Gmail.
Love it.
Which is our favorite way to get recommendations, if we're being honest, because it's easier to organize them. But she recommended that and it was my turn to do a listener case, that we look into, a case that was out of New Mexico. She said, hello, neighbors.
Love it.
For New Mexico.
You're in our Four Corner Tushing area.
Yeah. So thank you so much for the suggestion, Melissa. We really appreciate it. And I just really hope I could do this case justice.
I have one coming next week that's also listener suggestion. And it's also their hometown, which is, like, even more nerve-wracking.
Woo! Damn. Yeah. High stakes, man. That's always our thing is it's like, it's hard to know what, like, I know we try to use our best judgment on sources that are valid. Like, we're not Wikipedia kids, you know?
I don't ever do Wikipedia. Yeah. I try to find
local sources. Yep. I try to find, like, government sources, things like that. But sometimes it's hard to know what are really, like, the best sources. So that's why if I ever find, like, conflicting stories on there, I'll reference kind of both and say, you know, I'm not sure which is the case But, yeah. But we feel a lot of pressure to do these small town cases justice. And I know it's what we focus on a lot is lesser known ones. That's our whole thing. So if there's ever information that we get that you know other things, please let us know. And we'll gladly do.
We've had people reach out and give us information. Like, we don't name them, but they've given us a lot of stuff that we didn't know that they know because they're close to the victim or the family or whatever. So, like, send it our way. We won't take offense to it.
Yep, absolutely. Because we would rather all of the correct things be out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. This is going to bring us to Albuquerque. So this one's getting weird right off the bat.
Okay.
So on February 2nd of 2009, a woman named Christine Ross was out taking her dog named Ruka for a walk near their home, which was located on the west side of Albuquerque.
Okay.
In New Mexico. I don't think
You said New Mexico earlier.
In case anyone doesn't know, I really hope that you know where Albuquerque is, especially if you live in the States. While on the walk, Ruka found a bone coming out of the ground on the trail that they were on. It wasn't uncommon for Ruka to find bones when Christine would let him off leash on their walks. But when she looked at the bone, she noticed that it was different from the ones that he usually found, and it was quite large. So she took a picture of it and sent it to her sister, who was a registered nurse, and she was just like, can you look at this? This seems strange. Her sister noted that it looked like a human femur. So
that's a big ass bone.
Mm-hmm. After this revelation from her sister, Christine contacted the Albuquerque PD immediately. Thank goodness she did. Ooh. Good on her. Investigators confirmed that it was indeed a human bone. In an investigation, I know I get the heaps every time I read this. An investigation launched immediately as a result, thankfully, and police ended up finding something so chilling in this area. They found close to a dozen makeshift graves, and in them were the skeletal remains of 11 women and one unborn child. After the discovery of all the victims, investigators dubbed the women as being victims of the West Mesa Bone Collector. There are actually a couple monikers for this one, and I hate this one especially.
There's like a whole part of Bones that is based off of this story.
Mm. Yeah, that's not surprising, honestly. But I hate that moniker. And that's the one that I found the most when I was researching.
I hate it too, and especially because, like, there's a book now called The Bone Collector.
I've heard about that.
That's kind of like this.
Yeah.
And it just...
I feel like it's disrespectful.
It is extremely disrespectful.
Those are humans. Yeah. That those belong to.
They're human beings. That's their body.
Yeah.
Don't be disgusted.
They're family members. They're daughters.
I think a lot of times when the media dub, like, serial killers with a name, they really do forget that they are humans and they have a family. And
yeah, they're just looking for what's going to be catchy.
Yeah,
and get headlines.
They want to get your attention. Mm-hmm. But then they also give attention to the serial killer because they give them a name.
Exactly. And that's what they want most of the time. They just want that moniker. They want that fame.
I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
So luckily, most of my information came from the city of Albuquerque's website,
lovely.
Which I was very thankful for. According to their government website, it's cabq.gov. It'll obviously be in my source material in the show notes. All 11 victims have been identified, which is incredible.
It's weird that you picked this case because we just talked about the Gilligo case, and that's 11 victims.
Oh, yeah. And I did my research like over a week ago. So it was before all that came out.
Wild.
Interesting.
Sorry, I had to connect the two.
No, it's fine. So I'm going to name all the victims. So okay. 10 of the victims. We've got 22-year-old Monica Candelaria, 26-year-old Victoria Chavez, 24-year-old Virginia Cloven, Sylvania Edwards, who was likely only 16 or 17 years old when she passed away, 32-year-old Cinnamon Elks, 24-year-old Doreen Marquez, 24-year-old Julie Nieto, 28-year-old Veronica Romero, 27-year-old Evelyn Salazar, and 22-year-old Michelle Valdez. She was pregnant at the time of her death, so that is where
the this case just clicked in my head. I watched a show on this case.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember which one.
Yeah.
But I was like, when you said cinnamon, oh, I said it right, go me.
Yeah.
I'd really think about it before I said it.
Yeah.
That's the name.
You'd be hard-pressed to forget that name.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cinnamon Elks. I think I'd seen a show about her.
Specifically?
Yeah, because I knew sort of about this case, but really not much. But her name I was familiar with
And
already.
I remember the pregnant woman as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I digress.
No, that's fine. So as I mentioned, Michelle Valdez was pregnant at the time of her death. So that is where the unborn child came from. And they did find that all of these women had a link to one another. As the investigation went into the known victims, police quickly found that all the women had links to drugs and sex work, whether it be, you know, of their own volition or through potential trafficking.
Yep.
In showing that they all had a common thread. With the exception of one of the women, which I will talk about. Now I'm going to kind of talk about each of the victims, what I could find.
There's not a whole lot on any of them.
And think about it.
Right.
Because of what they were doing.
Yeah.
And this makes me so mad because they are humans. It doesn't matter. And when people are, you know, in that line of work on their own or being trafficked, they're thrown away by society, and it makes me sick. Like, I could find hardly anything on these women, and it breaks my heart.
Well, yeah, it's automatically they get, like, a red X put on them because of what they did for... You know what? Here's my thing. I know more women that have worked as sex workers or have worked as strippers that have literally paid their way through college and have no debt because that's
their
job.
Friends, what do you think that OnlyFans is?
Oh,
all of these content creators that are doing OnlyFans now, I think it's hilarious that they call it accounting. I'm not bashing on them at all either. I'm just saying they're the people that are open-minded about sex work anyway.
Right.
But all these people that are saying this, that, or the other. Obviously, it's not my cup of tea. It's not your cup of tea. No. But it is your own body. And I'm saying that of the people that are doing this of their own volition.
Absolutely.
However, I firmly believe that a chunk of these women were trafficked.
Oh, I have no doubts. Yeah. Which is
And that's not okay at all. Of course it's not okay. It's such an epidemic in our country right now. And it's horrendous.
My thing is always put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Yeah. Like, we are such a society, especially here in the U.S., of, you know, you immediately look at somebody's job title and what they make. And those two things, one or the other or both, determine how people look at
other
people.
That's their value.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Just want to be very, very clear
yes.
on that. Like, the people that are doing that because they want to yeah. and because they're empowered to.
And it's their job.
Exactly.
Like, do you.
Exactly. So, in 2003, friends of Monica Candelaria told police that they had heard a rumor that she had been murdered and buried in West Mesa, which is where all of these unmarked graves were found. It's unclear how much stock was put into the report, but unfortunately, obviously, the rumor turned out to be true. According to historicmysteries.com, Virginia Cloven had a brother who was murdered when she was in high school. After this, she and another of her brothers ran away. They just kind of wanted to get away from everything. Later on, Virginia was living with a boyfriend, but he was hit by a car and ended up in a coma. When this happened, she couldn't afford rent on her own, and she reportedly became homeless. Also, according to this site, thehistoricmysteries.com, Simon Elks, Julie Nieto, Michelle Valdez, and Victoria Chavez were all reported to be friends. Michelle Valdez was reportedly had a young daughter at the time that she mm-hmm. disappeared, and she was around 4 months pregnant when she died. Julie Nieto had a son at mm-hmm. the time of her disappearance. She also reportedly had a sister, Valerie, who had passed away around 2 years after Julie disappeared. Their mother said that Julie's disappearance caused Valerie to fall into really deep depression. Their mother found out about Julie's murder shortly after Valerie's funeral. Mm-hmm. So that poor mama is having to grieve both of her daughters in succession. Honestly, it's terrible.
Oh, my heart's so broken.
Doreen Marquez was a mother of two daughters. Her family reportedly said that she only fell into drugs and started having problems in the direct year before she went missing. Before that, she hadn't fallen into anything. And that is not saying at all that she had it coming to her. It just shows how quickly life can turn.
Oh, life can snap in
yeah.
a finger.
Yeah. Veronica Romero was reported missing when she was 27 years old. She was 32 at the time of her death, so about 5 years apart. She reportedly had 5 children at the time that she disappeared. So 5 children are with other mama. Think about that. Think about this. As we're hearing all these stories, that they were all, most of them were mothers. They were all daughters. They all have family. They all have people
that loved them.
Yeah. They were humans in this world.
Ugh.
Evelyn Salazar was a mother of two. The 11th victim, so this is one that I haven't named yet, her name was Jamie Barella. It's either Barella or Barella. It's only one L, so it should be Barella. She was not found to be involved with any of the activities with either drugs or sex work, but she was related to one of the victims, which I'll talk about in just a minute. The identities of the victims were determined using a variety of means. So the Office of the Medical Investigator was able to identify Selenia Edwards on November 13th of 2009. So if we backtrack to the beginning, the bodies were discovered around February of 2009. So not even a year after. So working pretty quickly. And that was before, that was still like, DNA wasn't super fast at that time. That was still when it was taking months at a time to find out things. They identified her through dental records and forensic sketching, which is fascinating to me.
That's how I did my Sherlock Holmes, my
H.H. Holmes.
H.H. Holmes mm-hmm. case. Wow. Wow. I said Sherlock Holmes. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, so they were able to do that, and you know, at this time, like, they were pretty much in the desert. They were skeletal remains.
Oh, there's
at this
nothing. Time.
So that's amazing that they were able to do that. Investigators were able to trace Edwards back to a missing endangered runaway report from Lawton, Oklahoma. She was reported missing in 2003, so she was found 6 years later when she was just 15 years old. In 2004, reports had linked Edwards to sex work on East Colfax Avenue in Aurora, Colorado. Any Colorado natives know the stories about Colfax.
Colfax is terrifying.
It's rough, yeah.
But that's where all the good music venues are. Mm-hmm. It's so dumb.
That's why you just don't go to East Colfax.
Yeah.
Keep it on the west side.
West side.
She had been known to associate with three different women and was possibly going by the nicknames Mimi or Chocolate. It is worth noting that Selenia was the only African-American victim. I don't play the race card, but it's just of note because all the other women were Hispanic. So it seemed to be part of a modus operandi specifically. Mm-hmm. She was also the only one that wasn't from Albuquerque originally. Mm. So it makes me wonder if hers was more of a
like opportunistic offshoot thing. Random. Yeah,
right. Not to try to, you know,
dull down anything that's happened to
and
her.
And not to try to make logic of it, because there's nothing logical about any of it. I almost wonder if she had just been...
Wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, with friends.
Probably.
And, yeah. Oh. With the help of DNA evidence and experts at the University of North Texas, so they're outsourcing resources, which is amazing.
I love when they do.
Yeah. The identities of Virginia Cloven and Evelyn Salazar were discovered on November 17th of 2009. So, Selenia was November 13th. So this was only 4 days after. So it's amazing. So they're working
side by
side. And
that's three victims now? Or four?
They're all identified, but these are only two so far in my timeline that I've identified.
Okay.
They're all identified at this point, but I've only, like, gone into details about two at this point. So three, because Virginia and Evelyn were the same day. After determining their identities, investigators discovered that both women were from the Albuquerque area, and they were reported missing in 2004. So think about this. 2004 to 2009. 2003 to 2009. Half of a decade. These women are just out here. And, like, is anyone actually really looking for them that hard? Didn't seem like it. Jamie Barella, the 11th victim, she's the one that I had mentioned that wasn't linked with the others. She was the only one that didn't have known ties to sex work or drugs. She was only 15 years old when they found her. Her remains were identified on January 26th of 2010. Oof. So, a little over a year after the graves were found. Investigators were able to discover that the last time Jamie was seen, she was at a family function with her cousin, Evelyn Salazar, who was one of the other victims. And this was in April of 2004 that they were last seen. Oof. Reportedly, Evelyn and Jamie were on their way to a park near Gibson in San Mateo, which is in the southeast area of Albuquerque, when they both just vanished. And again, how many years? 5 years. They went missing.
That's wild.
It just makes no sense to me. Heartbreakingly, many of the victims hadn't even been reported missing when their remains were found. As far as I know, the ones that I mentioned were the only ones that were reported missing that they could find. This meant that the work of the serial killer was easier because, according to the head of Safe Streets in New Mexico, named Christine Barber, she said, quote, no one noticed that they were gone. Satellite photos were taken of the area where the makeshift graves were found, and an image was found from 2004 that was showing tire tracks leading directly to the area of the graves.
That.
But by the time the graves were discovered in 2009, development and construction of the area had erased any of that evidence, which... I mean, 5 years later, even if there wasn't, it was going to be very hard-pressed that that happened unless, like, no weather ever happened in that area.
Right?
Yeah.
Nothing can happen.
What is the most astounding part of this case, I feel like, aside from how long these women were missing without being found and without being determined as being deceased, is that the causes of death could not be determined for any of the victims. So because they were skeletal remains...
I was going to say, there's only skeletal remains.
Right.
There's no soft tissue.
Right, exactly. So obviously, rules out manual strangulation because they would have been able to tell that the hyoid bone was broken.
Sometimes, but yes.
A lot of the time, but yeah. As of 2023, no one has been arrested in connection with these murders. Although there has been a lot of talk about two men in particular. Their names are Lorenzo Montoya and Joseph Blea. Or Blea, it's B-L-E-A, both of them being involved. Montoya reportedly lived just a few miles away from the burial sites, mm-hmm. and he had a very long history of violence against sex workers. What's more, in 2006, he ended up being shot to death by the boyfriend, but also reported somewhere as a pimp, so I'm not sure which, maybe both, of a woman that he choked and killed. Reportedly, Montoya was holding a flashlight when he was shot, and the woman he killed was wrapped up in a blanket near his car. So he was, like, trying to dispose of her, is what that says to me. It had also been reported that Montoya would beat his girlfriend, and she said that he would threaten to, quote, kill me and bury me in lime, end quote. So he sounds like a winner. Ugh. Just
I'm I don't even know what to say. I didn't hear that detail, and that...
Yep.
Fuck.
It's worth noting that he died after the murders were believed to be committed. Because he died in 2006, and they're thinking that they were all committed between, like, 2004-2005. Wow. Yeah. The second guy that there's a lot of talk around, Joseph Blee, I'm just going to call him that.
Yeah, call him that.
He's a serial rapist who's been convicted of multiple crimes. He is currently in prison serving a 90-year sentence due to his connection with four different sexual assaults. According to Historic Mysteries, trigger warning, he would reportedly break into the homes of teenage girls who lived by the nearby middle school, and he would reportedly rape them when he would enter their homes. He was also a suspect in the 2015 murder of a sex worker, as his DNA was reportedly found on the inside of the woman's belt. But he wasn't actually convicted of that for some reason. Don't know why. Maybe he just was able to talk it out, like, I was a client of hers, but I didn't actually murder her. So, I'm not sure. According to reports through the Albuquerque Journal, a week after the bone was found by Christine and her dog, Ruka, Blee's wife also reported somewhere as his ex-wife. So, I'm not sure which she was at the time. I know now she is definitely his ex-wife. She called police and told them that they should investigate her husband. Flat out. Was like, talk to that guy. You gotta be a fucked up individual for your wife or ex-wife to be like, yeah, might want to look that direction. Yeah. Courtney's face. She's just blinking at me.
I don't even know what to say because I'm just like shook at his audacity for one. Yeah. And like his clear, blatant hatred for women, not just sex workers, women in general.
Because like, that's what it is.
Literally hates women. The fact that he's raping children and then murdering sex workers and everybody thinks it's okay?
That's a piece of shit that thinks that he's owed something.
Oh.
For no reason at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's disgusting.
Ew.
And why women, or sorry, why men equate that and project that into acts of sexual violence is what's most disgusting to me.
Yeah.
What kind of sick, perverted fuck are you that you have to do that?
And it's different if you are in agreement, right? And this is your kink. That's different.
Consensual.
Consensual kinking is allowed.
Exactly.
Forcing this on women because you hate them?
Right.
Not an excuse.
Right. And because you think that you can just get your jollies wherever you may, by whatever means.
Go find a toy like everybody else.
Exactly. Sex dolls.
They're a thing, and they're
Fleshlight.
Realistic.
I'm just saying. But that's the thing, is because these sick fucks, it is the act of them having to force it that really gets them going. It is absolutely despicable. How are you wired this way? I can't. That's truly the people whose brains need to be studied. It's like...
Facts.
Yeah. Serial rapists. It's just... disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
And they're just like, they're
fine.
They're chameleons. Like, so many.
It's always the ones that you don't expect. Like, you would expect, like, Mr. Gray to be kind of like that, you know? But then you see, like, this dude
who's... No, because the people that are outspoken about their kinks and what they enjoy aren't the ones doing this shit.
No, it's the seedy underground, like, mafia bosses that, like, act like they're good people on the outside and then actually have this dark ass disgusting fetish that they carry out against other women's wills.
And to me, that's gotta be such a lonely existence that it's like literally an entire part of your personality you have to hide.
hiding yeah. something is exhausting. Like, yeah. I don't know how
people. But hiding do it. Being a sadist
is exhausting. Being a murderer. And disgusting.
Yeah. Yikes.
No.
So, the Albuquerque Journal somehow obtained a search warrant affidavit, which I'm like, good for you guys.
Damn.
Yeah. They found that Blee was known to frequent an area that was a hotspot for sex work. He reportedly had interactions or contact with police over 130 times over the span of 20 years leading up to the discovery of the West Mesa Graves.
How many times does somebody have to fuck up before you right. actually put them away for good? Like, it should just be like, one. Literally, it shouldn't he got, even be once, unfortunately, but still.
Yeah. Yeah. He has staunchly denied being involved in the murders.
Oh, I'm sure.
Reportedly, when Blee was arrested in 2003 for exposing himself to a woman, police found rope and electrical tape in his car, and he had also been reported to stalk sex workers. So, real trophy, that one. There was also a report that a cellmate of Blee's said he admitted to knowing many of the victims of the West Mesa serial killer, and he said that he had been violent toward one of them for trying to steal money from him. Like, my guess is that she did her job, did her service for you, you didn't want to pay her. That's what I would guess. Because mm-hmm. you're a piece of shit. However, police have never been able to get enough grounds or probable cause to even name either of them as official suspects, or as official persons of interest, let alone actual suspects in the case, or making any arrests. Although, now retired Chief of Police Michael Geyer believes that Blee and Montoya are their strongest leads. Some people believe that the case will remain unsolved because citizens of Albuquerque don't relate to the victims. And this is exactly what I was talking about. According to the University of New Mexico professor Dirk Gibson, he said, quote, "They think they're just a bunch of hookers and drug addicts," end quote. His words, not mine. I'll be very clear. And he said, quote, "Police budgets are stretched thin. There's a little money and so many crimes. Investigating a 10-year-old crime where police think that the victim had it coming, there's just no incentive for that," end quote. And it's also worth noting he's written two books on serial killers, and they're pretty well-acclaimed books, so he knows his stuff. At this time, investigators are still gathering evidence and leads surrounding the victims and their deaths, and the ABQ Cold Case Division is investigating multiple persons of interest, though none have been named officially. Again, they've got to have enough to do that. But they're certain that all of the deaths are the work of a serial killer. They have given the person the moniker, "This is the better one." This is, you know, straight from the Albuquerque Cold Case Division. They call them the 118th Street Serial Killer.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, you know, plain. It's not being disrespectful. Why can't we just do things like this, friends? According to the head of the Albuquerque PD Cold Case Unit, Liz Thompson, she said, quote, "The killer may have been charming or friendly in order to build trust or a relationship of some kind with the women first. This person's a predator. He sought out vulnerable women," end quote. Which is absolutely true. Any person that is in sex work, be it of their own choice, be it of trafficking, anything, they are a vulnerable class.
Mm-hmm.
Either way. Especially if they are unfortunately addicted to drugs too.
Yeah.
That's just putting them at even more of a vulnerable disability. So, think about that. Like, they already have the lesser hands mm-hmm. in this. Thompson also told KOB4 News, quote, "We believe the burying of the women's bodies is key. The person responsible had the means and the know-how to not only navigate a then remote and barely accessible area of the West Mesa, but to also methodically dig and then bury the women without clues such as clothing, personal items, or the method of killing such as bullets, bullet casings, or remarkable blunt force trauma," end quote. Because those skulls, you would still see blunt force trauma. So that really... you'd
see on any part of their bones.
Right. So truly, that leaves it to, like, smothering, strangulation with ligature, or, like, drugging them. That's really the only options that we probably have for how they would die.
Yeah.
Because that's the only things that you can't rule out with skeletal remains, truly.
Oof.
Yeah.
Wow, that's like making my mm-hmm. brain think real hard.
I know. Investigators still receive tips, though, to this day.
Good.
Which is good. Very good. They're concerned that recent construction in the West Mesa area may have covered up some additional burial sites, though. Can you imagine that? If there were even more than they found. Like, I cannot wrap my head around that.
Oh, I guarantee you there's more than what they found.
But it's like, it would just be so strange because it's like all of those were in the same general area. But, you know, it depends. Maybe there's a reason that there weren't.
They sometimes find like burial sites next to each other that are two completely different murderers, which I think is, there is a case about that. I just can't think of which one it is.
However, if you think about all these murders happened in maybe a 2-year time span at the most, that's a lot to do in a short period of time, especially if there's only one person. I personally think there's two.
There's two, especially if both those women went missing
if
together.
If not both of those chuckle fucks that we talked about.
Yeah.
As I said, investigators still received tips. Liz Thompson said, quote, "We hope that if there's someone out there who's hearing this and knows that during the construction of homes or their particular home, something suspicious was found but wasn't brought to the attention of the authorities, we would like those people to still come forward." End quote.
It's a valid question.
Yeah, even if, because at the time it could seem like something obsolete, but it's if you're thinking about it in this context, like that might have really seemed like nothing to me at the time. However, looking back on that now, anything could be important.
Oof.
Yeah. In the history of the investigation, it's reported that even FBI profilers have been involved, but still there's been no luck in actually landing a suspect or suspects. I think it's hard because especially not being able to determine a cause of death takes a lot out of what you can determine of an MO. And really, the only thing that they could determine is who these women were, what they were doing, and that's really it.
You won't even find DNA in this one.
Yeah, dental records were what they went off of.
No, I'm talking about DNA from the murderer. You're not going to find that.
Because,
like you said, nothing was buried with them, and any of that skin-to-skin touching is gone by now.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Shit. This is definitely one case that's like, I don't see them finding a way to solve it, but if they do, I'm here for it. I'm just saying.
Crazy things have happened, man. They also want to hear from women that may have been involved in sex work in the Albuquerque area between 2001 and 2005.
Okay.
Or even people who solicited victims at this time.
Okay.
So, you know, even if they're
just
pimps, they have to work
for the
them.
Whole thing.
Exactly.
I don't see anybody talking, but you never know.
Right. According to... Did I put this wrong?
Oh.
I did. According to CABQ.gov... Quote, "A reward of up to $100,000 is being offered for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons responsible for this crime," end quote. So furthermore, anyone that has information around the victims and or suspects is urged to call the 118th Street Task Force at 1-877-765-8273 or at 505-768-2450. You can also contact Crime Stoppers at 505-843-STOP or email investigator Ida Lopez at ilopez@cabq.gov. All of this will be in our show notes as well. So this is still very much an open case.
Active case.
Even though it's with the cold case, it's an open investigation.
Yep.
So if you think of anything,
that's wild.
Call it in. Nothing is too small.
Duh,
unless you're lying about things and then you're being a dick, but...
Yeah, don't be a dick.
Yeah. So, that's what I've got on this one.
My poor little brain is like,
it's
what
a
about
lot.
This? What about this? What about this? What
I know.
This? And I'm like, no, stop.
I know.
Focus.
Like, it's just crazy to me because there's so many pieces to it, but it was all, I do not know how to say this without this sounding disrespectful, but it was all put into just a neat little package by the killer or killers. And I think that's what just makes me irk more is it's just like how
it was meticulously thought out and was executed
right
surprisingly well.
Yeah.
And again, not sounding derogatory or like against the victims by any means, but like they were too good.
Right.
Unfortunately.
I know. And
I'm going to say they because I think it's two.
Right. It makes me sick because if these women were not sex workers...
Oh,
where
this
would we
case
be today?
Would already have been solved.
Right.
We would have figured it out.
It just, I cannot get past the fact that there was, you know, maybe 5 to 7 years after these women were murdered, that they're just lying there, and no one even, like, starts to think that it could be the work of a serial killer. I understand, like, I understand the concept of being in a high-risk environment, and that is what they were in, unfortunately, right. No matter what way you parse it. However, you can't just write that off. It, like, it's all women coming from the same area, with the exception of Selenia Edwards, mm-hmm. just the one. You're not sitting here thinking, like, there's a lot of women going missing. It doesn't matter. They're humans. It doesn't matter what they're doing. They're human beings. They had families. They had, most of them had children. And, like, would you tell their children, like, yeah, look what your mom did. It's not really, we're not going to worry about that. No, absolutely not.
It's disgusting if people really think that way.
There are people that do.
I know.
It's really, like, I'm on a tangent about hateful people lately, and I'm just like, it costs you $0 to mind your own fucking business and not pass judgment on people, because it's not your job to pass judgment on people. Mm-hmm. We're all judgy in our own ways. I'd be a hypocrite if I said I wasn't. But in this way, for, like, judging people for what they are doing because they feel like that's what they have to do to get by, or because they're forced into it, fuck you.
Yeah.
Put yourself in their position.
Again, not your place.
Right.
Shut up.
Exactly.
Like, if I want to make money by going to strip, I'm going to make money by going to strip. Right. That's my choice, my decision.
Right. And if these... And I know, like I said, I know some of these women were forced into it. Put yourself in their position.
Right? That's why I say put yourself in their shoes. You have right. no idea where that person's coming from.
Exactly. You have no idea what their circumstances are. You mm-hmm. have no idea what their life has been up to that point. You have no clue.
And it must be nice being on the cushy end of things that yeah. you can sit there and look down upon right. them. No.
Right. And fuck you for thinking that they deserve less of care and less of effort.
Those are honestly some of the most genuine women I think I've ever mm-hmm. had an encounter with mm-hmm. are women who are in this industry. And right. granted, the ones I know are by choice, but they are some of the nicest people I've ever met. Yeah. And they would give you anything that they could.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Yeah. But I really hope that something comes of this case.
Me too. I don't see it, but I, again, yeah. I said the same thing about the Gilligo mm-hmm. as soon as we were done. So,
yeah,
I'm here for it. If we can mm-hmm. solve it, I'm not complaining. I'm not shaking my head. Like, right. let's go. Let's get these women justice and their yeah. families.
It just makes me so sad how little there is about this. Like I said, I had heard very minimal about this case before I started researching it, and it makes me sick. Like, seriously. I don't think I found any national sources when I was looking for this, except for that Historical Mysteries, which was just, like, essentially a blog, but they had reputable sources that they used. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I didn't find any, like,
national sources. And I've only seen the TV show, and now that I'm thinking about it, I'm almost positive because, like, all the names and stuff sound familiar, but, like, it was from the one victim's family's point of view.
Yeah.
And I think it's also because a lot of these victims, their families, are not coming forward mm-hmm. because of what they did.
I know.
And it's heartbreaking.
Right.
That to, you're still being...
Exactly. To be murdered and have your family still be ashamed of you.
Yeah. It breaks my heart because they deserve just as much of a voice as anyone else.
Exactly.
And the fact that they weren't even, like, called out for being missing in the first place is also heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Because of a job. Something they either chose to do or they were forced into. Like, that's really disgusting.
Yep. Exactly.
In my opinion. But that's just me.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that to the table, and I feel like these women finally have somebody in their corner.
That's this case. Yeah. Thank you again, Melissa, for asking us to cover it. I mean, I feel like that's a vote of confidence from listeners. Like, you may not think a lot of it, but to me, that means a lot.
Heck
you know, that means that you entrust us with telling the story right, you know? If there's...
Doing our research.
Yeah. If there's anything that you know of this case that I didn't find, please, 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 please let us know. Because, like I said, we want to capture everything about the cases. But
yes,
we will just hope and pray that answers are going to be found.
I'm here for it.
Yeah. This one gets me, so...
I know, you're emotional, and yeah. I'm gonna stop it right here, because you got time to do your own thing now.
Yep, I'm gonna eat, and I'm gonna play Animal Crossing, and I'm gonna go to bed.
I'm gonna go pick up some Chick-fil-A on the way home, because I keep staring at your cup.
It was bomb. Spicy chicken sandwich.
Ooh.
Which you won't eat, because you're a baby. Anyway.
Spicy sucks.
No, their spicy chicken sandwiches are so good. Shut your blasphemous mouth. It's just because you're a vagina.
You take that back.
Anyway. Okay. If you would like to send us case suggestions, send them to our email in the nickofcrimepodcast@gmail.com. You can find our other stuff in our show notes.
Don't hit us up on TikTok because we're still working into TikTok. So hit us up on Instagram, if anything. That's the one site that we're on the most.
Yeah. We really do the damn TikTok because we get followers for doing absolutely nothing on there.
Every day.
Every time I log back on, we have like 100 new followers. I'm like,
I know. I'm like, how did this happen?
I appreciate it though.
I do too. I'm here for it. We appreciate your love and your support. And with that, keep it creepy, stay freaky.
And we will see you guys Thursday. And then hopefully next Tuesday. We'll see what happens. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Ew. Bye.